Hi, welcome to I've Never Seen the OC. We are on season 3, episode 16, The Road Warrior. So our DMs on Instagram at Never Seen the OC have been popping this week. A popping. Because we did not address the fact that Sadie, who we met in last week's episode, is in Twilight.
I saw this. Is she one of the Cullens?
Yeah, she is. But I think she looks really different. Quite drastically different. Okay. And it, to be fair, because I had a quick look at like some pictures from last week.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I wouldn't have recognised her. Whereas this week where we got a bit more one-on-one time with Sadie, I was like, oh, I see it now.
Yeah, see it now.
That's two sparkly vampires I've been in this week's episode. Exciting. Well, over there's Jane.
That's me. My name's Jane and I have seen the OC.
Sorry, what a setup. I decided I needed some water, it's so just I thought like, throw
cute.
To you.
I'm like, this is not the way it goes.
So professional. My name's Heather, and I have never seen the OC. And we together collectively are I've never seen the OC. Welcome. Anything exciting to bring up other than Sadie's a sparkly vampire?
No, nothing exciting. I think this is worth noting instead of her sort of previously on the OC with this episode, because I'm guessing there must have been like a break in America when this was on, because we've
I noticed this.
So we've got like Misha Barton and Marissa doing the voiceover of, if you haven't watched the OC in a while, here's what you've missed. And then they just sort of like, we've got our little montage going right back to the Swells. Kind of filling us in on everything that's happened.
I feel like it might have been a mixture of two things. I think there was possibly a break between the in the series. And then I feel like maybe there was like a ratings drop and somebody's been like, we need to put some spice in this. And I'll bring that up in just a wee second. But just take that little seedling of information and I'll come back. I'll work back to that. But yeah, there was also music in the intro, like proper like band music, not just the usual OC music. It was very exciting.
It was. Yeah, so if we have a wee recap of... Well, I think the main thing, Johnny fell off the cliff and died.
Yep, Johnny is dead, can confirm.
And again, this seems to be causing even further problems between Ryan and Marissa.
Yeah. We've got Julie and Dr. Roberts. Yeah. They are getting it on. Julie is living her best life. Over at the Newport Group, Matt is going out with Maya, who in real life is married to Ben, a.k.a. Ryan, which is very exciting. But there was also, in the recap, there was nice little reminders that he loves the strippers. I don't know why that's important.
Yeah.
But that was brought up. Then they're trying to get this deal over the line with the hospital. Maya's dad is one of the doctors. Yep. So they're trying to get him on side. Yep. Sandy is like very into this relationship because it will benefit the company. Kirsten seems okay with it for now. Yada, yada, yada. Newport stuff. Sadie is our new character.
Johnny's cousin.
She's here to help out Gwen, Johnny's mum, and help like clear the room and do all that sort of stuff. Basically adulting when really an adult should be adulting. Yeah. And Ryan seems to be quite infatuated with her. He's got a wee shine to her.
And your favourite man's back, Heather, Bud Volchek as well.
Volchek. Mm-hmm. They had a nice little stare off at the end of the last episode. Weird, but sure. And did you notice there was a little montage of like sexy snogging time?
Yeah.
Which made me think there's been a ratings thing. And someone's been like, we need to make it sexier. We need to make it more exciting. Mm. And then this is me circling full the way back round, because the opening scene is Summer and there's like a voiceover, which we've never had before. Mm-hmm. Summer's inner monologue. And it turns out she's actually recorded herself doing an inner monologue.
Yeah, because at first I was like, I don't remember this. And then I was like, she's trying to make her life more dramatic because that's all she needs.
Yeah. And then this is what, so remember in previous seasons that OC has been really like self-deprecating and like will bring in things that people have said. So remember Marissa made a comment about Ryan looking like Russell Crowe, and it turned out because on all the fan sites people were saying Ryan looks like Russell Crowe, so they included that. And then there was something else, I can't remember what it was, but there was another thing in like season one, season two, where Seth made a joke that was kind of something like referencing things that fans were saying, and I was like, maybe this is them doing that again, like maybe there was criticism because there was quite a specific line that they said twice, wasn't there, more dramatic and meaningful. And I'm like, is that are we being funny with that?
Yeah. So the voiceover is all about sort of choices and changes. And yeah, again, it's usually Summer. She's always contemplating what these last sort of milestones in their life mean.
She
loves a milestone. But she's actually just at this point, the monologues between choosing between the two bikinis, isn't it, to go in the hot tub?
Big decision. They were nice bikinis.
Yeah, they were. But again, she's talking about how it's their senior year and they don't have much time left. And Marissa's like, yep, cool, come on, let's get in the hot tub. And we're presuming that the boys are waiting for them.
But it turns out it's just Seth, yep, isn't
just
it?
Seth.
Where's Ryan?
Yeah, and this is... Do you not think this is really weird? So there's no Ryan, and then Marissa's just like, oh yeah, I haven't really seen him much recently. It's just weird. Like, these four pretty much live in each other's pockets. And you'd think... It's almost as if Marissa's talking to her two pals that she doesn't really see that often.
Yeah.
And not about her boyfriend.
Maybe they know that that's the case, but you know how, like, when everybody knows, but sometimes you just need to vocalise it and be like, yeah, we aren't really hanging out. We're not, do you know what I mean? Like, maybe that's what it was. Or it could just be bad script writing, Jane.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so.
I actually really liked this next little skit. I thought it was really funny. So Seth makes a joke about being in a hot tub with two hot girls, to which you're like the dweebiest little guy.
Yeah.
Like, you can barely handle Summer, mate. You could not handle two girls. Like, no, yeah, come on now. But he's obviously giving it Billy Big Balls, like, way in the hot tub with two hot girls. And they totally pull him up for it and totally call him out for it. And they're like, oh, yeah, like, you know, what was it Marissa says? She's like, oh, well, I have kissed girls before. And Summer's like, oh, and I've always wanted to. Yeah. And then they kind of, like, slide over to him. And they're like, hey, so do you think you can handle two girls? And he's just like, ah, you're funny. Stop joking now.
Runs Stop away.
And literally runs away. And I was just like, yes, that is so funny. Because there's so many guys who are all like, way, threesome, way, two birds.
Yeah.
And then you're like, mate, if two birds were getting on in front of you, you would shit yourself. Like, don't be that guy. Just because porn has made it really, like, amusing for
as
you doesn't mean
you're supposed
life,
to like
it's
it.
There to entertain you. Anyway,
oh, man.
Run over. But it was funny. I liked it.
It was. And so Seth sort of bails out and he says he's a way to call Ryan. And Ryan's busy with Sadie helping her fix some pipes. Like, what?
Right. I am 31 years old and I have no idea how to fix pipes. Like, literally no idea how to fix pipes. Why does a 17-year-old boy know how to fix pipes?
Yeah. It's not believable,
Weird.
Is it? But yeah, Ryan's like, oh, I'm on my way. But just as he goes to do so, Sadie tells him that the police have some questions for her. And they think that Johnny's death might not have been an accident.
Yeah. This little setup was quite weird because, like, Ryan and her are being, like, super flirty around. Because, like, the water, when they're fixing it, spurts everywhere. And they're all like...
Yeah.
And it's just, like...
It's uncomfortable, isn't it?
Yeah. It's really weird. Especially, like, she knows that he has a girlfriend. Like... Okay.
It's a very different vibe to when we would see Marissa and Johnny hanging out. Like, it didn't seem... Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Johnny and Marissa never felt flirty.
No, other than the daft little scenes that time they were at Chili's and they were fighting over a CD or whatever, but that was just not on this level. It doesn't seem... Yeah.
Yeah. And even when Seth calls, there's like no... I don't know, it just felt really weird.
Yeah, it's just a bit cagey, isn't it?
But you're right, the police turn up and she's like, you should probably go home. Yeah, I've written down, like, why are they asking Sadie questions and not Ryan, Marissa and Caitlin, who were actually there?
Yeah.
Weird. But she's like, go home, I've got this. Okay, weird. Here also, have the credits been done up? They look different this week.
Yeah, they do, don't they? I don't know. We need to go back and compare, but quite possibly. Quite possibly. But we then cut to Summer and Marissa at Marissa's, and Summer has decided that she wants to go on a double date. But Marissa wants to play it by ear, and Summer thinks, oh, well, you'll just make an excuse to get out of it. And then Marissa's like, well, Ryan was the one that missed last night's hangout, and not me. And yeah, you can just feel a bit of tension there, can't you?
I don't even know if tension's not to be like, you're using the wrong words, that's not what I'm trying to do. But like, I just feel like she doesn't care. Like,
yeah.
It's not like, well, he wasn't there last night. It's literally, she's just like, I just don't care. Like, you can tell that
she's so over it, isn't she?
Yeah, she's just not bothered at all. However, naughty flashback. Do you remember when waistcoats were a thing?
Yes, I was thinking this so much, like waistcoats and a Levi's denim skirt.
Right?
From like Urban Outfitters. And
it was always a waistcoat over like a short sleeve t-shirt.
Yeah, shorts like what?
What yeah. weird look.
I always used to get, remember Topshop always used to do the sort of like tight fitted, like white kind of basic t-shirts, one of those with that, and then you'd sometimes you would have like a scarf on over it, or various a like long scarf. Or various long necklaces.
I remember having a cropped waistcoat that I adored.
Cropped, like, oh, I can actually imagine waistcoat. What it would look like.
Like, absolutely loved it. Why?
Yeah,
what a weird thing.
That was such a thing, though. Do you remember those like big the necklaces as well you would get from Urban Outfitters, and you'd wear them, they would be like so long. I think I had a big heart pendant, and you opened up, it was like a locket, and inside I had a picture of Alex Turner on one side and Alexa Chung on the other, because they were like my favorite.
Of course you did.
Better than having an actual picture of my boyfriend or something in it, you know. I'll just have a
I had like a kid's clothes hook thing. Like, so like, I imagine for kids, you would hang like a dressing gown up on it.
Yeah, or, yeah.
Like, you know, your dressing gown and your towel. I literally just like leaned it with necklaces.
Necklaces.
Like, absolutely loved the long necklace. Thank you, Topshop, and all those glorious pieces of tat that you brought into our lives. I feel this outfit was like peak Marissa noughties, inspirational noughties
so
outfit.
So much. But yeah, they're basically, she's just not that into it. Summer talks about her dad a bit, doesn't she?
Weird segue into that conversation. Like, I'm really enjoying our deep and meaningful conversations. I miss having deep and meaningful conversations with my dad.
Yeah. But then Marissa gets a phone call. That's how that scene ends, isn't it? We don't know who it is, but she gets a call.
Yep. Over to Seth and Ryan going over to Sadie's, and
again,
like half the kitchen's hanging off the wall. Sure. And this is where we find out that Johnny's mum is having money issues because she hasn't got the insurance money through from Johnny dying, which I'm just like, this is such a weird storyline.
Yeah.
First of all, the point we keep coming back to, they're 17 years old. Why the frick would they be bothered with this? Like, that is not their jam. Second of all, why is it their job to fix it? Third of all, if her home is being repossessed because she doesn't have any money, like, is it because the funeral was expensive? Like, what's changed?
Yeah, I didn't get, surely she'd be, not to be insensitive, but she'd be better off like not having to provide for her kid anymore rather than, and I mean, to be fair, she just asked me to have a fundraiser, do something illegal and they'll raise some money for it, it'll be fine.
So weird.
It's a weird storyline. I'm like, who, there would have been an easier way to, here we are again. But basically, apparently there's new evidence in the case. Again, they're a bit woolly about what this is, even down the line. We'll talk about that when we get there, another weird scene involving the authorities and minors. Yeah. But anyway, they don't think it's an accident anymore. And Seth suggests, oh, maybe they think Ryan pushed him, but Sadie seems to believe that the police want to talk to Marissa and not Ryan.
Yeah, which, sure. Okay, let's go on this roller coaster journey together, because it's a weird one, but onwards.
Here we are.
Over to the Cohen's kitchen, Julie and Kristen are having a work meeting, but Julie's tired because she's been up all night with Dr. Roberts.
Ooh-wee. So she's been sneaking about with Dr. Roberts in the back of his cars and such like. But as it just Kirsten says, like, I didn't know the Maserati had a back seat, and she's like, it doesn't.
Wayo.
And she makes like reference to her chiropractor as well, doesn't she?
It's very funny. But they're doing this because they don't want Summer and Marissa to find out, because, like, and I kind of get that. Like, it's the early stage of their relationship. Yeah. They're still trying to figure out what it is, how it is, if it's even a thing before they introduce, not, like, just merge their lives, I guess. But Kirsten is kind of at the point where she's like, you guys should probably just go public about it. Just tell them and get it over with.
Yeah. And then we go to the Newport group. And Matt gets a visit from Maya at work.
Yes.
And Sandy comes in to talk to him, doesn't he, while they're chatting.
Smooching.
Yeah, they are smooching, aren't they? Yep.
Did this not remind you of when Kirsten comes to visit Sandy?
Yeah,
it was really similar vibe.
How do you feel about Sandy in this episode?
I don't think the situation is as bad as they're making out. I don't, maybe it's just my loosey-goosey morals. Like,
yeah.
You know how people are like, don't mix your life and work. And I'm very much like, don't know if I believe that. It seems to be, the implication is that he is interrupting on Maya and Matt's personal life, which I don't think he is really. But here we are. She's very much like, oh, say hello to Kirsten for me. And she trots off. And this is where we find out that if they don't get the proposal from Maya's dad, Dr. Griffin, by Monday, they are dead in the water. So the pressure is on. And this is where Matt's like, it's a bit uncomfortable. Like, I don't want to just like ask her outright.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're trying to make this relationship work, which I get. But like the next proposition surely would be Sandy being like, well, why can I ask her, and then it's not awkward for you. I'll just pretend like you have nothing to do with it and I'm just asking her. Like, I think that would be fine. But Matt's like, no, I want to do it, and I want to do it right so it doesn't backfire.
Matt tells him he'll take care of it. And then we are at school with Summer and Seth. And we've got her again. She's trying to phone her dad, but he's in surgery all day or something or other. So she's complaining about the lack of time that she's spending with her dad. And then we've got Taylor, who we've not seen in a while.
We haven't. Your fave, Tay-Tay, is back. Okay. And she's all like, hi, friends. What are we talking about? Sits down in between them, like squishes her wee bum in between them, which is cute and funny. And she's very much like, what's the plan at the situation? Because Summer tells her that she's a bit bummed because she thinks her dad's pretty miserable. And this is where the suggestion comes up that they get him a hot date. So they're going to get Kirsten and Julie's company to get him on the books. But Summer is going to write what she wants and what he wants and kind of or choose the person, because basically she's like, he's been doing a shit job at choosing the right woman, so I'm going to do it for him. Which is kind of gross, but okay.
Picking our new stepmom. They have a plan of attack. And then we've got Ryan bumps into Marissa in the corridor and sort of talks about how the police are looking for her, and Ryan's like, oh, I'll come with you, blah blah blah, but Marissa says that she doesn't want to drag Ryan into anything, and then it's just a bit awkward, isn't it?
Yeah, you can, like, again, you can just tell that neither of them care. Like, the simple fact she's not like, oh yeah, come with me, and the fact he's not like, oh my god, no, I will come with you. Like, Ryan's favorite thing is to save people, and the simple fact that she's like, oh no, don't, and he's like, okay, fine, bye, does not care. And she's very much, you're helping Gwen, that's important, like, you should be doing that. My question is, so Marissa organized all the paperwork from the hospital, she was round the day after Johnny died, she organized the funeral, but yet she's not helping Gwen, Ryan's helping Gwen.
They've not been very clear about how Ryan has just slotted into this role, have they? It's not very believable.
So weird.
Other than the fact that he must fancy Sadie.
But the big thing is, he says to Marissa quite explicitly, like, you should see Sandy about talk before you talk to the Sandy. Police. Which I was like, oh, that's ominous.
Yeah.
But also, why would you go and talk to the police as a 16, 17-year-old without having an adult present?
Yeah, you really wouldn't, but... Ugh.
I wouldn't go to the police without an adult present. No, I'm like, I'm an adult. Dad, what are you doing? Help
yeah,
me.
Could you help me? But yeah, very weird. So anyway, we've got Ryan is back at Sadie's house again to help out, but she's got other plans, so she's really raging at Johnny's dad, and she wants to go and she's going to go and smack him around, apparently. And Ryan's like,
I have another question.
Yeah.
Why? Okay, first of all, why does that Ryan know how to patch up a wall? I have only just learnt this skill.
Still can't now, do that.
And I have watched a lot of YouTube tutorials.
Yeah, I have.
Why does Ryan know? Second of all, where did he get that stuff from to do it? Did he go to the shop? Does he just have that? Why is he pretending he's an adult? Why is he playing at being an adult? Why
it's
is he
so
doing
bizarre.
Things that adults do? It's so weird. What? You teach kids. Do you think, could you actually just do a test? Could you, in your fifth or sixth year class, just be like, raise of hands, do any of you know how to, plaster a wall?
Right, I can tell you now there will be zero kids in my higher class that can plaster a wall, but I will, I'll try it. I've not seen them in a while.
Report back. Yeah. Okay, sorry, weird question.
Yeah.
just doing some stats.
Yeah, just a little bit of research. I'll find, but
so weird.
Yeah. Doing the DIY, and then your fave guy comes in, and she is apparently going. Yeah. He's going on the road trip with her to find Johnny's dad, because apparently Volchuk's dad was friends with Johnny's dad. They were old drinking buddies or something, so he knows where he could be located.
Yeah.
Then you've got Ryan and Volchuk having this sort of head-to-head, and Sadie eventually is just like, right, Volchuk, going to write
Stop
the...
Stop it.
write the address down and leave us alone. But then, it's like when Volchuk's like, oh, so if you're with it's her, then that means your girlfriend's all alone. And Ryan's just a bit like, yeah. And yeah, it's
bye,
just,
have fun.
What's he say? He says, like, what goes around comes around, or something to that effect.
That didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
I don't know if he means that because Sadie's been his ex, or they've had some kind of involvement. I don't know. But yeah, I thought, I was like, this doesn't make sense. Okay. All it seems to be is like Volchuk getting with people's girlfriends. Like, so it's just nobody else is really getting anything out of it.
Everyone's got a type, Jane.
Yeah.
And it just happens to be girls who have boyfriends.
Yeah.
So we cut quite quickly to this road trip, and Ryan quite outrightly asks about Volchuk and is like, what's the deal? And she is like, I was young, like, we were together, it didn't work out, and that's it. And I'm like, all right, cool. We kind of gathered that. Thanks for laying that out on the table. But then Ryan tells Sadie his backstory, bonding, lots of bonding here.
Okay. Well, this is the thing. This always happens when they go on road trips.
Yes. This is where we find out that Gwen needs the money from Johnny's dad.
Yes.
Which I'm also just like, why would you send Ryan, who is 17, and Sadie, who I imagine is still going to be younger than 20?
Yeah, they're not really bounty hunters, are they?
No. So, and what adult would be like, yeah, sure, you go and do that?
Nuts. But yeah, so now at least we've got an idea of why they're going on this crazy mission. But then we cut back to the Newport office again, and Sandy's talking to Matt, and they want to go on a double date. And also wants to talk about to Maya himself about getting the meeting with her dad. And Sandy's like, I think this would be easier if we just do it this way. And then we get interrupted by Manessa. So she's come to tell Sandy, hasn't she?
Yeah. She's looking for some legal advice. And they kind of need to go back and talk about what happened that night, which... I'm quite glad they did this, because if she'd gone to talk to the police on her own, I would have really lost my shit.
Yeah.
But anyway, so over at the Cohen's house, Summer's turned up because she wants to talk to Julie and Kirsten to get her dad signed up on the dating site. It's not a site. Get in the ring binder. She wants him in the ring binder.
Yeah.
And Julie is so awkward. This is like another one of these scenes where it's like the comedic effect is
yeah,
really
so good.
Like ramped up. It's really good. And Summer is very much like, want to find him a date because he's not been picking well. The last two women have left, so clearly yeah. there's something not going on there. And she says, if I don't step in, he'll end up with the first he'll end up with the first money-grabbing slut bag that gets into the backseat of his Maserati. To which you see Julie's face behind her aghast,
yeah.
like jaw on the floor. And it's just, it's very well done. It's very funny. Summer's got her
our list,
binder,
yeah,
full of blonde women that she thinks should be inspirational to what what she's yeah. looking for her dad, and a list of non-negotiable qualities.
So they should be fluent in Italian. They should enjoy crosswords, and then she says, as well as being blonde, a sort of Sharon Stone in Basic Instinct. Vibe, which sets up the scene that follows, yeah. which is quite funny. But yeah, then that just sort of leaves poor Julie questioning if she can be everything on Summer's list. And Carson's just like, you can maybe be blonde, but you're not fulfilling any of the rest of the criteria, yeah. which is pretty funny. So yeah.
Let's head over to Uncle Jack's. Ugh. Ryan's wearing his grey hoodie, which clearly means shit's about to go down.
Pacino's back.
So they knock on the door and they're like, he owes somebody money and we're trying to collect it. What? Okay. If a 17-year-old turned up at my door and was like, I'm here to collect money, I would literally laugh
you'd
them out
like,
of the door.
Off.
No, go away. But it turns out he's moved to Indio. So they are going to go on a road trip into the desert. They need to have an overnight, obviously.
Of course.
And she explicitly is like, you don't have to do this. And he says, I want to. Which I think, considering his nonchalant attitude to saving Marissa and his full-blown attitude towards saving Sadie, clearly shows where his loyalties lie.
Yep. So yeah, it's oh god, it's just awkward, isn't it? Yeah. But then we've got Dr. Roberts and Julie meeting up, and Julie's gone like full Sharon Stone,
she
looking amazing,
slamming, and like the camera like slow pans up from like her feet up her yeah. legs, and she's wearing like this white mini skirt, like her calves were on point. Like clearly that woman is on the step machine, like
yeah.
she looks phenomenal.
She's
got like this white polo neck on, she's smoking, and she's doing a crossword, and she creates him by saying like buenas noches or whatever.
Yeah,
like, I think that's Spanish,
whatever,
but like
she's working on her Italian.
So funny.
So yeah, she's basically trying to encompass everything that's on Summer's list at the same time. And Dr. Roberts is just a bit like, what? But then we cut to Taylor, who's come to pick up a takeout for her and her mum, yeah. and she's fluent in Korean, who knew?
Which is hilarious. I also love the fact she's like joking with the guy, and she's like, oh, next time I'll just order it. Yeah. Like, oh, mum, what's she like? I've got this. Like, it was good.
Yeah, see, this is the Taylor, like, I know and love. You know, like,
okay.
yeah, she's definitely coming into herself.
I feel like she is warming on me. Like, this was funny.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this scene. But she obviously sees Dr. Roberts and goes over to, like, say hello. And then she spots that he is talking dirty with Julie Cooper. And she is aghast. And she literally overhears, like, the worst bit. She's like, what would, in your wildest dreams, what would you do with a woman, a willing woman? Like,
yeah.
imagine being 17 and hearing your friend's parents like talk like
yeah.
that. You would just be so,
so gross.
You would be so grossed out.
So, especially when he was going out with your mum about 5 minutes ago.
And you think he's still got genital
yeah,
warts. Yeah,
you think he's got genital. Oh, gosh. But we then have Summer and Marissa having a chat on the phone. And again, they're just sort of going over the Marissa Ryan saga. I think this is a pretty nothing scene, isn't it? But I think it's just to really set up for the next scene when we've got Ryan and Sadie at the hotel about to play some poker.
Not only
poker,
strip poker. Not okay. Not okay when you've got a girlfriend. Perfectly fine if you're single. Not okay if you've got a girlfriend.
It's just a bit cliche, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's like, oh, the loser sleeps on the floor, and you're like, oh man,
god.
But even worse, he ignores the call from Marissa.
Call from Marissa.
And then he lies to Sadie and is like, oh yeah, it was just Seth. So the lovely Jonathan on our Instagram very rightly outed this whole road trip thing as like a poor man's trip to Chino. Remember when Marissa and Ryan went to Chino to see his brother? And I was like, yeah, it does have, it's got really similar kind of tropes to that, even with like a little hint of when they went to Tijuana and like they obviously had to share a bed, like you know.
Well, that's, I think on this show, whenever there's a road trip, that is definitely a time for them to get pretty close and have all these big deep and meaningfuls, isn't it, when you think back to them all. So yeah, danger zone.
Anyway, the next morning, and we realize that he did actually sleep on the floor, but still flirty as ever. But Detective Sadie has figured out that Johnny's dad owns a company that does bail bonds. I mean, great detective. I would hire her. How she got that from just flicking through Yellow Pages is beyond me. And then this is where we cut to Seth rolled up in Ryan's duvet. And then the phone's going, obviously, Ryan is phoning him. And we find out that Seth's been covering for Ryan. And he's doing that by rolling around in Ryan's bed to make it look like it's been slept in.
Like, what goes on in that house, really?
Weird.
So weird.
As if you wouldn't check to see if your kid was in bed before you went.
Yeah.
What kind of parental guardians are they?
Yeah. And it only gets weirder when Taylor then pops up in the pool house.
I did enjoy that he was like, do I need to like get security? Like, do we need to get new locks? What is going on here? Very funny. But yeah, Taylor's like, this is an emergency. Julie Cooper and her dad are shagging. They're doing the dirty. How are we going to tell Summer? And obviously in that sentence, Summer turns up. And this is the big reveal. Your dad and Julie Cooper are doing it. And Taylor knows where their next date is.
She does. So she's like, I wouldn't have believed it, but I've seen it with my own eyes. And they still seem a bit like, But we can obviously assume from that she's going to take them to the place, which is the golf club. So yeah. Julie's cute little golf outfit.
This outfit is cute. She's wearing like a little red mini skirt, some little golf shoes, and she's got like a baker, paper boy hat. Like, it's super
cute. Yeah, so Summer's just a bit like, I can't believe he'd bring her to like his sacred place. And yeah, they're just pretty horrified.
But then they start like making out, don't they? And she's like, oh my god, let's get out of here. That's so horrible. And then all you hear is little Seth being like, I think it's cute.
So then we've got Ryan and Sandy end up at the place where Jack should be, but he's not there. There's just some other like threatening guy.
Ryan and Sadie? You said Ryan and Sandy.
Did I say Ryan and Sandy? Sorry. Ryan and
I would actually have loved it if they took an adult with them. Yeah, I think that would be very good. Responsible that and probably the good. Right thing to do. But no, sadly, just Sadie.
Just Sadie. So Ryan and Sadie are where they believe Jack Harper should be, but he's not there. There's just another menacing guy. And then the guy's like, who's looking for him? And Sadie's like, his dead son. And it's just like, what?
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And then the guy threatens him with a gun and then they go and wait in the car.
Cool.
America.
Yeah. And then the next scene with Marissa is quite disturbing, isn't it? There's all the sort of flashback scenes from the night
it's
when Johnny
really
died.
Similar.
Yeah.
Really similar to that scene with Trey.
We had that
I
at the start we had all the flashbacks at the start of season. I think it just goes to show as well that these like flashbacks are little like, glimpses into what goes on in Marissa's head, you know, as a result of everything she's suffered. It's really pretty horrible.
But it turns out the police have found her letter to Johnny, which the kind of key line was, I'm not in love with you and I never will
never
be.
Will
like,
be.
This isn't fair on Ryan. And this is where the police are like, do you think he would have, like, this is kind of evidence that he would have killed himself? Or, like, this is a really good reason why your boyfriend wouldn't be terribly happy at him, which, valid line of questioning, to be fair.
Yeah. But yeah, it's Marissa sort of like, no, Ryan didn't even know that this note existed.
Yeah.
And she's like, Johnny didn't commit suicide. Ryan didn't push him. He just slipped and fell. It was as simple as that.
But the scene kind of like flashes with like the crime scene on top of the cliff, and like it's actually really nicely edited because then that kind of scene finishes with her standing at the cliff. And then she like really pathetically kicks over the police cordon, but it's like she can't lift her legs. Do you think it's because they're so long?
I don't know. Do you think it's very like reminiscent of when she was having the mad rage screams by the swimming pool and stuff, isn't it?
It's exactly like that. It's like, so stupid. But then obviously she turns around and Volchek's here with his hip flask.
Yeah,
but so he's handy to have around, right?
I know. But she declines, and he's giving her a bit of backstory, telling her how he used to, like Johnny and Chilli used to kind of hang about them, then Johnny eventually became, he said he like taught Johnny to surf, but then Johnny became like the better surfer.
Yeah, and it kind of puts it quite bluntly, like Johnny and I used to be friends, and then he got better than me and I didn't like it. And I'm like, wow, that's cool. Honest. And she's like, cool, don't care. And then he's like, if you want to like kick back or like hang out. I was like, all right.
Oh,
weird, but sure.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm not interested. And then he says the line, I can keep a secret too.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
What's going on here?
What do you mean, Volchek? But it's all quite sexy and it's all quite like, he's just there smouldering and she's like, I'm not interested.
Interested, you sore. But yeah.
I mean, you would be a fool not to. Look at the man.
But yeah, but then got Sandy comes in to talk to Kirsten. She's just sort of filling them in on what's going on with Marissa and the police.
But he's sure that they're going to see it as an accident.
It's got to be an accident. He's pretty certain. And then, again, he's coming back to the idea that Maya's their only chance for this proposal to work. And Kirsten's just a bit like, don't really like you messing about with Matt and Maya. They seem to be getting on well. But then again, it's sort of similar to what you were saying. Sandy's just a bit like, she's a smart girl. She wants to do good. Like, it's not as if we're totally like hoodwinking her. She knows the deal, you know, so...
Yeah, it's not like they're luring her in so they can make millions. Yeah. They're luring her in so that they can help lots of people. Yeah,
totally. But Kirsten's just not bought on it, is she? She doesn't seem to like the idea at all.
It made me think, what was it before? She was like, people used to do this to me with my dad's company. Like, they used to talk, like, try and persuade me, try and get on my good side. And I'm like, maybe that's what it is. She doesn't like the fact that they're kind of...
Yeah.
Potentially using Maya for their own gain.
Yeah.
I get it. Totally. It's definitely bloody. It's a bloody line. Back to the Bond place. Jack's back.
Ugh.
They come in and they're like, we're here to talk to you about your son. Oh no, Ryan says it, doesn't he? He's like, I'm here to talk to you about your son. And Jack's like, I don't have a son. Ugh. And Sadie's like, I know, that's why we're here, Uncle Jack. And it's so melodramatic. I've just written down this storyline is weird as fuck.
Yeah, it's so weird.
So weird.
And then what is it she says? She's like, oh, you owe like he owes her aunt like however much child support, and he's like, I needed that money to start my business. And then she's like, did you buy this truck? And just starts like knocking fuck out of the truck with a baseball bat.
Where did she get it?
I don't know.
Baseball bat? Like, where did she get that from?
But she starts doing that anyway. And then this sort of, there's a like chain of events that follows, isn't it? That
Jack goes for her, Ryan goes for Jack, and then the other, everyone piles in, everyone's beating everybody up. And then they've all got Ryan and kind of holding him down, some other guy's holding Sadie, and then Jack just says to him like, this ain't a high school kid, and just smashes his face in, which I'm kind of like, I don't like violence at all.
No, me neither.
I'm also like, don't play with the big boys. Clearly not good guys. You're a 17-year-old child. Why do you think you can take them? This is insane.
So true. I'm guessing again this is probably, I think this is where like the break was, but because it comes back and we're back with Ryan and Sadie, and Sadie's sort of taking care of his wounds, isn't she? And
I'm sorry for dragging you into this. I'm sorry for having a shit idea and you being stupid enough to come along with it.
Sorry you got battered and we didn't even get any money.
and then Ryan steals her car.
Oh,
what the fuck?
She's like, are you okay? So yeah, Ryan steals the car, but then we thankfully cut to Sandy and Kirsten, Matt and Maya, and they're on their date.
Yeah.
And they're all sort of like reminiscing and telling old stories and stuff. And then Sandy just goes, get straight to the point with Maya. It's just so awkward.
Straight to business. It's so uncomfortable. I really like, Kirsten says a really good line where she's like, Sandy, we're eating. Like,
yeah.
Could this have, there's a time and a place for those conversations. There really is. And that was not it. And like, you can tell everyone is just uncomfortable. But Maya takes it really well. And she's like, yeah, and he's like, look, it needs looked at now. It needs, like, I need you to look at it. And like, I'm bringing this up because it's time sensitive. Mm-hmm. Sorry if it's putting too much pressure on you, but this hospital could help a lot of people, yeah, which is why we're asking.
Totally.
And she's so sound about it. She's just like,
yeah, she says she's happy to. Look,
yeah, she kind of turns to Matt and she's like, Matt, what do you want me to do? Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'd like you to look at it too. And she's like, then I'd be happy to. And like, it's just, yeah, it's really awkward because I feel like Kirsten kind of makes it more awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of. But you can tell Kirsten is raging. Like, she gives Sandy these evil eyes that is literally just like, the second we close the car door to leave this place, you are in so much shit.
Yeah. So, yeah, that ends on that. And then we've got a little shot of Summer and Kiss. Summer and Seth kissing. I don't know where that came from.
Imagine if it did just cut to like Summer in a dressing room with the band. That would be an amazing storyline.
Oh, yeah, we have Summer and Seth making out. And Summer's just, again, like, then she starts thinking and talking about her dad again. And we're like, oh, God. Yeah, there's a time and a place.
Dear Josh, no girl thinks about her dad while kissing her boyfriend. Yeah. Kind regards. Yes. Never seen the OC.
Yes. But again, she's like, oh, what if their dad and Julie work out? And then Seth's just a bit like, well, you and Marissa are best pals. Imagine you were actually sisters. And then this is like Summer's just a bit, I guess it's like, it's all right when Julie's been her best friend's mum and looking at all the crazy stuff she's been through. But she's just a bit like, she's Julie Cooper, and Seth's like, yeah, well, I kind of like her. I don't care that she married my grandpa for money or that she had sex with Luke. I think she's got moxie.
I think she has moxie. Yeah, too,
me too.
But like, at the crux of it, Seth just wants her, and Summer just wants her dad to be happy. Yeah. Like, which makes sense. But then obviously, in perfect timing, Dr. Roberts comes in and Seth's like, ew, get off me, I'm trying to study. Yeah. Funny. A funny little aside. And then like, this is he says, doesn't he? He's like, oh, I've had one of the best days I've had in forever.
Like
I think I know
happy.
What it is to be happy. Yeah. Yeah. And like, this is where you can tell she kind of goes, oh, yeah, okay, this is good. So they're going to hang out tomorrow to talk. So hopefully that'll be a nice positive situ.
Yeah.
And
Seth just says, like, he's proud of Summer as well. And Summer says, our dad's happy. That's all that matters. So yeah, it's all looking pretty good.
And this next scene makes me want to violently vomit. Just putting it out there.
It's awful. So Ryan comes back to talk to Jack. And again, like, who does Ryan think? Surely he must realise these people aren't adults. Like, they're not cut from the same cloth as Seth and Kirsten. It's not really like he can appeal to their good nature, you know?
No.
But he's like, oh, you need to make things good with your son, even in death. And Jack's just a bit
like... He opens the conversation so, like, rudely. Like, again, if a 17-year-old kid talked to me like this, I would literally be like, go fuck yourself. Like, no. He says, like, Jack says, I have nothing to say to you. And he just says, like, good, you can listen.
Oh, where does he get this confidence from?
Who does he think he is? But, yeah, do it for Johnny. Mm. Ugh. Heavy eye roll. So then the guys chuck him out. He's like, get this guy out of here. Sadie turns up and then he chucks an envelope with cash at him. And he's like, I never want to see you again.
Yeah. And then Ryan's like, oh, look, I got the money. And she's stunned. And Ryan saves the day. Woohoo.
Ryan saves everybody.
Yeah.
Back at home, Matt's just off the phone. And Sandy is super excited because Maya loved the proposal. She's going to give it to her dad. And then Maya dumped Matt.
Yeah.
And Sandy clearly doesn't give a crap about that part. He just is glad the work stuff is. And he's like, it's fine because she's moving back to New York. Like, it's not even a big deal. And this is where Kirsten is like,
oh, yeah,
something's not okay here. Like, your moral compass is becoming weird and I don't like it. And she openly says that she's worried that Sandy doesn't know where the line is anymore.
Because that's what she said previously, that she would never have to worry about that with Sandy. But now she does. We then cut to, we've got Marissa at a gig at the bait shop. I did look up the band but wasn't that interested, so didn't write it down.
Is it not Tom Veck?
Possibly.
Marissa's clearly a huge Tom Veck fan, because she's there on her own.
Yeah.
What 17-year-old kid goes to a gig on their own?
Unless you really like them, then...
Yeah. I have no problem with people going to gigs on their own.
Yeah, I
suppose
I probably
wouldn't
have at 17.
But I wouldn't have at 17.
No, definitely not. Maybe she just fancied a wee midweek mocktail.
Maybe. But Wojciech's obviously a huge Tom Veck fan, and has turned up looking handsome and brooding.
Yeah, I don't know who Tom Veck is. Are they a band? Is it a person?
I think it's a person. I just recognised the song, and then I was like, oh, I think I know who this is. The song is called I Ain't Saying My Goodbyes.
No.
And then I looked it up, and I was like, oh, it's Tom Veck. But I'm not a big... Yeah, I'm not a fan.
I wouldn't
have been at that gig on my own, Jane. Nah. I'm not a fan.
Vanessa sees Wojciech and sort of like runs away, doesn't she?
Yeah. And runs away from her feelings, her lustful feelings.
And then we've got Sandy. Why do I keep saying Sandy? Ryan and Sadie. I think it's the Y in the Ryan, and when I see Ryan and Sadie written together, anyway, I'm not going to try and explain how my head works, but Ryan and Sadie are on their way back home from the road trip, and again, very like good point, Sadie. She wants to know what Ryan's going to tell the Coens and Marissa about his trip. What's he going to tell them? Why haven't they realized?
A, where have you been? B, why do you look like you've just done three rounds with a boxer? But he kind of like, she then asks him, like, why did you come? I told you not to come. Mm-hmm. And he says, I needed to get out of town. I needed to feel something different. Just need to feel something, man. And then she's like, so how do you feel now? And he just answers by saying, Marissa and I need to talk. And I was like, all right, cool. So you're telling the bird you fancy that you're going to dump your girlfriend so you can get on with her. Nice. Nice, Ryan.
Yeah.
I mean, I appreciate you not cheating on her physically, but you've definitely set the emotional foundations in place, Ryan, and that is not okay.
And what a weird... I know these things don't always happen seamlessly and we can't pick who we love or who we're attracted to, but the cousin of the dead guy that's caused you all the problems in the first place?
Yeah, weird. Another piece of life advice, other than, you know, don't hook up with the cousin of the guy that's just died that your girlfriend fancied.
Yeah.
That's a confusing narrative. But yes, another piece of advice. Don't break up with people over the phone.
Yeah. Most definitely
not. It's rude and it's cowardly and I don't like it.
Yeah. But he phones Vanessa and she's at the beach. And oh, did you notice as well there that they're playing Forever Young again?
Forever Young, yeah. I did, yeah.
And
I feel like they're trying to make this like super emotional when really it's clear that neither of them give a shit.
Yeah, I think it's just the sort of idea that, well, they did say, I think it was like, was it back in the last waltz maybe? And they sort of decided that was going to be their song, if you like. But yeah, it's a bit of a... I guess not much is really said, but maybe nothing has to be said because it's been dragged out over like the past 10 bloody episodes.
But it does feel pretty amicable though. Like, they're both like, this isn't working, we've been through a lot, you would have thought we would have kept going. But like, we've all been in relationships like that where you're like, this is not
right,
this is not working. So apart from breaking up over the phone, I think it's been a long time coming, and you can there's almost like a bit of relief from both of them.
Yeah. I think their relationship has sort of like gone full circle, hasn't it? And this was like when they got back together, was when they had that song playing, and now they're breaking up. I think Marissa says she tried to phone him yesterday and Ryan's just like, this is hard. And they've been through too much, which they probably have for a couple of their age. They're just a bit like, okay, bye, see you later. Like, and then Vanessa starts crying. Yeah.
Do you know what I've written down? Go snog Volchek right now. Rebound the shit out of him, is what I have written down. So it's probably good that me and Marissa weren't friends, because I would not be what Summer is and be like, oh. I would just be like, do it right now. Do it for all of us, Marissa. And then at that point, when I was writing that down, Sadie turns up in Ryan's room for another round of strip poker.
Yeah, and they just seem to be having a nice, fun, good time. We've not seen Ryan that sort of relaxed or flirtatious in ages.
And then obviously the final shot.
Oh, yeah.
Volchek turns up at the little beach hut. And I was like, yes, Volchek turns up, do it. And that is all I have written.
So when he turns up and like, she's wiping her eyes, she's like, I'm not crying. Like, and he obviously knows what's going on. Just having a little fag and staring out at the ocean.
Well, Marissa, he likes the ocean. She likes the ocean. Bonding already.
Match made in heaven.
I'm excited. Pumped. I've been waiting for them to wake up for fucking ages.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming.
Yeah. Okay, so next time, Marissa better get with Volchek, and it better be soon. If they drag this out, like they drag everything out, I will be raging.
Right.
I will be pure raging.
So what have we got? 9 episodes or something left?
Yeah. Yeah, so that'll be us. Ryan's obviously going to get with Sadie. I mean, no surprises there. But I have a feeling he's going to get with Sadie, she's going to get with Volchek, and then they're both going to get annoyed with each other for getting with other people, even though they've broken up. Surely, that's the drama I'm sensing.
Surely Sadie has to go home at some point.
A valid point.
But yeah, there's quite a lot. We need to find out about the colleges.
Oh yeah, that's still to come. Need to find out if this bloody hospital's getting built or not. Is Sandy going to turn into Caleb? That's important. Is that going to happen?
And how Matt's going to factor in there as well.
Yeah, Matt's a weird guy,
he's so weird. I can't really quite remember what happens. Yeah, he's a bit. So yeah, we've got Matt. Hopefully more Taylor shenanigans.
Yeah. Seth and Summer seem to be just chugging along nicely.
Yeah, Seth wasn't smoking any weed for a couple of weeks.
It wasn't this episode, was he? Mm-hmm. And then Julie and Dr. Roberts, I just want them to get married and live happily ever after.
That's going to happen next episode, I'm imagining, the big reveal to Marissa.
Oh, yeah, and she needs to tell Marissa.
Yeah, I wonder how they get out this trailer park and into that beautiful big house.
Oh my god, I'd love to live in that house.
I would love to live in any house right now. Anywhere with a garden right now, I'd be like, yes please.
That courtyard, man.
Yeah,
I think about it all the time. My dream house is an imaginary TV shows.
Yeah,
sure. Okay, it is time for Listener of the Week.
Listener of the Week. Who have we got?
This week's Listener of the Week is Carrie Sund. She mentioned us on her little Instagram story, like the little cutie she is, saying, enjoying listening to two Scottish girls chatting about the OC.
Oh, that's lovely. Nice.
Thanks.
That's nice.
Cute. Thanks for getting in touch. If you would like to chat to us, get in touch, you know, hang out, you know, all of the above, you can follow us at Never Seen the OC on Instagram. If you could leave a review on Apple Podcasts, that would be nice too.
That would be awesome.
And you know, follow, subscribe, all those sort of stuff.
All those things.
On whatever platform you use to listen to your little podcasts. That would be great.
Yeah.
I'm very excited to watch the next episode, actually.
Yes, me too.
I want to know what happens.
When are we won't have listened to Julie and Summer yet.
That's soon.
We've got a wee while to go.
You were also right, by the way. I'll say it publicly. I put it on the internet, but I'll say it on here as well. You are right.
Thanks,
it is
Heather.
The 26th and not the 29th, as I foolishly said in the last episode.
Is it the 20th? I don't know if I'd say the 27th, but yeah, anyway, right, it's around one of those
it's
dates.
It's round about then. Just follow Rachel Bilson and she'll tell you.
Yeah. It's after the pubs have opened.
It is. It's not our job to update you on other people's podcasts, guys. Yeah. Just go and Google it. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Pubs are opening soon. That's exciting. Yes. Oh my god, we can meet. We can meet in a pub.
Yes, oh my god.
Oh my god, should we do a drunk cast?
Oh yeah, oh god.
Should we record an episode in a pub garden? That would be chaos. Yeah. maybe not on day one. Maybe we'll wait a week until it's calmed down.
We'll actually be able to, like, all going well, we'd be able to do an actual recording in the same place.
That's wild. Imagine.
Yeah. I know.
Imagine. We also need to start thinking about the final episode of season 3. Because we normally do a little something at the end of a season. So we need to try and think about what that could be. If you have any ideas of what we could do for the final episode of the season, slide on into those DMs.
Exciting.
Yeah. Great. Well, cool. Onwards.
That's till next week.
Till next week. Bye.
Bye.